last like 4 or 5 months, I would say, the Lord has really been dealing with Andy and I about the power that we have in our tongue. And there's been some things that have gone on and come against us because of that, and causing us to grow in that. And through that, the Lord was showing me, this isn't just for you and Andy. You know, Andy and I, we're working on things in our spirit right now. We're working on this church growth. We're working on our personal lives, you know, our personal finances. What is it that God has for us? You know, we want to reach the top, the max. We want to shoot high. We want our focus to be way out there where God has really called us to be. But we're never going to get there if we don't use this. And so in studying that and working together, and Andy and I praying together and just getting into the Word and really seeking God on what exactly does this mean, you know, it was kind of, ow, Lord, this is not comfortable. But the Lord was showing me, he says, if you and Andy don't do this, all of you will not be functioning in this properly. And so it's my desire. I'm not trying to condemn most I'm trying to do is convict you to start taking heed, because, you know, we're all going forward together. We're doing this in unity as the body of Christ. And so I want you all to know that, man, you know, this hurts me too. It's kind of uncomfortable. But I'm telling you, if we can all come together and start functioning in unity with our tongues, we're going to be way, way far ahead. And I know that God has great plans for each one of us individually and corporately. And I want us to start functioning in it properly. So today I want to talk about the power of your tongue, and what I've named this is, does what you say matter to God? And I'm going to start out with just a few statements here, and then we're going to get into the Word about them. You know, in this life, we all have choices. And one of those choices is what we talk about. God designed us in His likeness and in His image. That's what it says in Genesis, from the beginning of time. And God designed us to speak blessings, to speak creatively, to be encouraging, positive, and to speak life-giving words. Now, when men fell, we started speaking fear, doubt, unbelief, worry. We feel pressured to say all of those kinds of words all the time because we're in that world, that twisted thinking world system. That's how we've been trained. Here's a statement. And Andy, man, I thought, you're stealing my thunder. Stop it. But the statement, if you say so, is very true. Whatever you have said in your past, you're living the fruit of it today. I want to go to new levels that the body of Christ has never been to before. That's my heart's cry. That's my passion. But we're never going to get there speaking the words that we've been speaking as the body of Christ. We're just not going to get there. You know, the Lord, in seeking this out and studying this, the Lord really showed me that the words that we speak, you know, the world teaches us that when we speak, we are expressing our feelings. We're expressing our emotions. We're trying to communicate with one another. But you know what? That's not what our words were ever designed to do. It's not what our words were designed for. Our words need to have value to ourselves by, number one, that we believe what we're saying. You know, one of the things that used to irritate me back in the day when this name it, claim it, blab it, grab it thing came out was, man, that's kind of legalistic, Lord. But that's not how God designed it to be. We are speaking spirits created in the likeness and the image of God Himself. We need to start acting like it. We need to mature and grow up. I know this is kind of hard. It kind of stabs at you. So number one, we need to believe what we're saying is truth. And number two, we need to not only believe that what we say, but it needs to be in line with the Word of God and know that it pleases God to be an imitator and speak the same things that God is speaking. So with that basis, I want to go to James chapter 3, and we're going to start there. And this is one of the first scripture verses that I learned in Christian school. I was like, oh, Lord, this is awful. Because, you know, as a teenager, you don't want to hear this sort of stuff. Like, really? I don't want to be responsible for the words I speak all the time. Oh, goodness. So we're going to start in James chapter 3, verse 1, and we're going to read down to verse 12. And I'm reading out of the New King James Version for right now. It says, my brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man. And I don't mean that perfect. I mean he's mature. Able to bridle his whole body. Indeed, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Look also at the ships. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member, and it boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature and is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird and reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Let me point this out. In studying this part of it, the Lord says, you can't tame somebody else's tongue. You can only take control over yours. With it, we bless God the Father, and with it, we curse men who are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceeds blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter water from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus, no spring yields both salt water or fresh. The other scripture that I wanted to read, these are my two basic scriptures, James 3, 1 through 12, and Proverbs 18, 20. And 21. Proverbs 18, 20, and 21. It says, a man's stomach shall be satisfied from the fruit of his mouth. From the produce of his lips he shall be filled. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. So do our words matter to God? He listens to what we speak all the time. Think about it. Angels sit perched, waiting to go out and perform and fulfill the words that we speak. So our words do matter to God. hard. Whoops. Just, I'm going to take this kind of out of context. I got to get there. Lord, where is it? Let's go to Ephesians chapter 5. I've been meditating on this particular scripture for months. It's in my office up on a whiteboard where every time I look up from my desk, it's on there, isn't it, Phil? And I the Lord's been teaching me some things about this. So it's Ephesians 5, verses 1 and 2. I think that I have it. Whoa, let's not get too out of hand here. I'm going to read it first in the Message Bible. I really like this. In the Message, it says, watch what God does, and then you do it. Like children who learn proper behavior from their parents. Mostly, what God does is love you. Keep company with Him and learn a life of love. Observe how Christ loved us. His love was not cautious, but it was extravagant. He didn't love in order to get something from us, but to give everything of Himself to us. We need to love like that. Man. In the New Living Translation, and this is how I have it up in my office, the New Living Translation, it says this: imitate God, therefore, in everything that you do, because you are His dear children. Live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ, who loved us and offered Himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God. Like I said, we were created as speaking spirits in the image of God Himself. We have authority in our mouths. We have power in our mouths. But we could have death, bitterness, envy, junk in our mouths. These are some of the things that the Lord's been dealing with me. And the Lord said something to me. He says, look, He said, if I'm not Lord over your tongue, I'm not really Lord over you. And I went, ow, that hurts. And He says, let me prove it to you. Psalms 12. I'm going to read it in the Amplified Version. And it's verses 1 through 4. And man, this, in a way, this kind of dug at me, but I'll tell you what, in another way, it set me free. Helps me to put my flesh under. In the Amplified, it says, help, Lord, for principled and godly people are here no more. Is that not the world we're living in right now? Faithfulness and the faithful vanish from among the sons of men. To his neighbor, each one speaks words without use or worth or truth. With flattering lips and a double heart, deceitfully they speak. May the Lord cut off all flattering lips and the tongues that speak proud boasting. Those who say with their tongues, we will prevail. Our lips are our own, to command at our will. Who is Lord and Master over us? You know, when we're speaking things that don't line up with the Word of God, that's essentially what we're doing. Who's Lord over my mouth? I can be short with somebody. Isn't that true? You know, Andy, 3 weeks ago, he was teaching on preparing your heart to harvest your crop. And again, he was kind of stealing my thunder. But, you know, we're working on this together. We're in this project together. And you know, I wanted to bring some of the things that he said because, you know, it's been 3 weeks since we've heard it. So I want to kind of encapsulate this because what he did was he made a really nice segue into what we're about ready to go into these next few weeks. And I'm telling you, if we take this seriously, we're going to start this next year out in power. We're going to go places that we weren't going to be able to go if we didn't have this in our focus and in our thoughts. Andy said 3 weeks ago, he said, there's four ways for you to harvest the crop that's in your heart. Number one is to hear the word. Number two is to accept it, believe the word. Number three is to bear fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. Number four, the purpose of the parable of Mark chapter 4 is to get your heart to produce fruit. It was the preparation that caused the fruit to be born. Proverbs 20:11 says, even a child is known by his deeds, whether what he does is pure and right. So our deeds are a clear mark of what's in our heart. Now, I want to make this really clear. If you want to get what's in your heart, you know, that combination of your spirit and your soul where they interlink, and if you want to get that to start producing fruit that you can eat, that you can see, that you can touch, that you can taste, you're going to have to do this. There's another element that releases the fruit of your harvest. Romans chapter 10, starting in verse 6. I have it in the Amplified, so it's a little long, but we're going to read it anyway. Romans 10, 6 through 10 is what I'm going to read in the Amplified. It says, but the righteous, based on faith, imputed by God and bringing right relationship with him, says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down. Or who will descend into the abyss? That is to bring Christ up from the dead. As if we could be saved by our own efforts. But what does it say? The word, God's message in Christ is near you, on your lips and in your heart. That is the word, the message, the basis and object of faith which we preach. Because if you acknowledge and confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord, and in your heart believe, adhere to, trust in, and rely on the truth, that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart, a person believes, trusts in, adheres to, and relies on Christ, and so is justified, declared righteous and acceptable to God. And with the mouth, he confesses and declares openly and speaks out freely his faith and confirms his salvation. This is how we got born again. God doesn't change. Your very own confession saved you. That word saved means everything. I'm talking you were saved from hell. You were saved from mental anguish. You were saved from torment. You were saved from lack of finances. You were saved from sickness and disease. You are now healed. You are now made whole in the name of Jesus. You know, it's not enough just to believe these things, but that salvation is everything. It's your whole life. You have to say it. Over and over and over, we are speaking spirits who say things. Saying releases that power that's in us and the words that we're believing. To receive from God, we must call on the name of the Lord. Andy talked about this and he said, how do we accomplish this task? He said, the secret is in Mark chapter 4. Number one, the word's introduced, which is the seed. Number two, you hear the word. You receive it into your heart, that part of you that's part spirit and part soul. And you start preparing that ground between the two so that those two agree. If you can get two-thirds of you to agree, your flesh is naturally going to just follow. You believe the word, so you bear the fruit in your heart. You call on the Lord. That means you speak something. You're declaring something. And he, God, manifests that which you believe in your heart. He manifests it into this physical world. Mark 11, 12 through 14. He's got it in here, maybe. I want you all to look at this. You know, this is Jesus, and we're supposed to be an imitator. We're supposed to be following and imitating Jesus. So what does that look like to us now? In verse 12 of Mark chapter 11, it says, "Now the next day, when he had come out from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing from afar off a fig tree having leaves, he went to see if perhaps he would find something on it. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. In response, Jesus said to it, 'Let no one eat fruit from you ever again.' And his disciples heard it." Jesus' response to what he saw in the physical realm was exactly what he made the judgment in his heart, and then he spoke to that tree. We have that power. We are speaking spirits made in the image and in the likeness of God. And now in verse 20 through 24, it says, "Now in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering, said to him, 'Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed is withered away.'" You know, in verse 19, it says, "Immediately the fig tree had dried up from the roots. It immediately obeyed the words that Jesus spoke." Now, you couldn't have seen it in the physical tree right then and there. But immediately that tree obeyed the words that Jesus spoke. We need to believe the things that we say are going to be done, and that they're in line with whatever he has given in his word. There is believing in your heart, and then there's saying with your mouth. You know, it's not just enough to believe in your heart, "I'm going to have good fruit. Man, I'm cultivating the word." But you're going to have to speak something at some point in time. You're going to have to start saying some things. You know, it's how we got born again. You know, back in the Old Testament, there was a man named Abram. And God gave him several pictures to believe for that he was going to be a father of a multitude of children. So he gave him some signs. He said, "Look up at the stars at night. If you can count them all, that's your seed. That's how many children you're going to have." Every night, Abram went out and looked at that. And then, as if that wasn't enough, he said, "Look at the sand in the desert that you're walking in." And trust me, he had to wash his feet all the time because of all the sand and grit. And he said, "Every little piece of sand, if you could count it, that's how many children you're going to have." You know, it went on like that for, they estimate, about 25 years, and he still didn't have a child. God cut covenant with him. He walked between the halves in the blood of those animals. Still, no child was produced. Abram was a very rich man. He could trust God for that. He spoke that. He said that. But that child was kind of a, as the English say, a sticky wicket. And they struggled because he could see the barrenness of Sarah, his wife. Yet the word tells us that he was a man of faith. He was considered righteous before God. What did God do? He changed his name to Abraham. And do you know that within 10 months of him changing his name, they had a son? 10 months. Because everybody around him kept calling him, "You're a father of a multitude. You're a father of a multitude." They spoke it over him. He spoke it over himself. Sarah spoke it over him. I mean, think about the power of the words of changing his name. Isn't that awesome? Let's bring it up into the New Testament. That's an Old Testament. That's an old covenant. But let's bring it up into the New Testament. What did Jesus call Peter? He called him the rock. Not the big rock, not the cornerstone, but he called him a rock. In other words, he was rock solid. But you know what? Peter had a mouth on him, didn't he? Pretty much like you and I do. I'm just saying. He would say things out of, just off the cuff, just whatever came across his thoughts, he would speak it. Isn't that the truth? Isn't that kind of how we function and how we operate? And you know what? He, like Judas, betrayed the Christ. But instead of going and hanging himself, Jesus specifically said to the disciples, "Tell Peter to come and meet me in Galilee." And with his words, what did Peter do? He repented. There's going to be times that we need to repent and be honest with God. He sees our heart already. But if we're going to go to another level, if we're going to be effective against the devil and all of the plans that he has, we need to start speaking what's truth and what's right. We need to be willing to repent. Repent means to turn around 180 degrees and go the opposite direction. It's not going to be easy. It's not been easy. But I'm telling you, it's going to be worth it. If we become unified and we start saying the same things and we start agreeing with God, we're going to take this to a whole nother level. And Satan will not prevail. You know, Andy used Luke 6:45, but I like it better than Matthew. So let's go to Matthew chapter 12. And we're going to start in verse 33. And this portion of this chapter, it's talking about, it's subtitled, "The Tree is Known by Its Fruit." And it says, "Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For a tree is known by its fruit. Brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned." That word idle means unproductive or negative. You know, as a woman, we tend to talk a lot more than guys do. You know, I think there's a saying that guys have like 10,000 words a day that they use. A woman's probably got like 20, I don't know. And, you know, as a woman, I'm just saying there are times that just something comes across my thoughts and I'll speak something. But God's telling us to take control over our thoughts. You know, we don't want to be a mixed tree of good and bad fruit. For by your words you're going to be justified, or by your words you're going to be sentenced or condemned. I don't want to be sentenced to something that's not of God. We're going to bring forth the treasure that's in our heart, and we're going to bring it forth with our words that we can use. You know, Jesus taught in Mark chapter 4 how to produce the good treasure. Remember Andy talked about it? You know, you got to prepare your ground in your heart. You got to pull the rocks out. You got to make sure that there's some nice fertilizer in there, compost. You know what I'm saying? Prepare that dirt and that ground to receive that seed. That's our responsibility. Are our lips our own? Absolutely not. Not once we've made Jesus the Lord of our lives. You know, in 3 John 1, verse 2, it says, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers." I'm telling you that if we can get our souls to start agreeing with our spirits, and we do it in unity as the body, we're going to see some great results. Psalms 33, 6 through 9. You know, God is a speaking spirit, isn't he? And we need to be that same way. Psalms 33, 6 through 9. I'm going to read this in the message. It says, "The skies were made by God's command. He breathed the word, and the stars popped out. He scooped the sea into his jug. He put the ocean in his keg. Earth creatures bow before God. World dwellers down on your knees. And here's why. He spoke, and there it was, in place, the moment that he said so." We can do this same thing. You know, the word confession means nothing more than saying the same thing that Jesus said. Nothing more, nothing less. In John chapter 1, it says that the Word became flesh. So Jesus is the Word. Jesus was a perfect man. And I really believe that if we start guarding our tongues and speaking those things out, that we're going to become more and more like Jesus. And we'll be going days without speaking against the word or speaking against something that we want to come to pass. It's possible. I want to go through the hows to do that in the next few weeks. It is possible. We can live the way that Jesus lived. The Word says so. But we're seeing very little of it. Oh, we may be hit and miss here or there. And it's exciting to see God moving. I love it. But I want it to be consistent. And we're never going to have that consistency unless we start speaking it out of our mouths. I want to end with this. Isaiah chapter 55. I'm going to read it out of the Amplified because, you know, as I was reading this in all of the different, Andy and I love reading different translations. And it helps us to glean things that we may not have seen in the Word. It's a quicker way to meditate and get things inside of you, into that ground, and start cultivating it. Isaiah 55, starting at verse 10, it says, "For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven, from the heavens, and returns not there again, but waters the earth and makes it bring forth and sprout, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void, without producing any effect, useless, but it shall accomplish that which I please and purpose, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. For you shall go out from the spiritual exile caused by sin and evil into the homeland with joy and be led forth by your leader, the Lord himself, and his word with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you in singing, and all of the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come the cypress tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree, and it shall be to the Lord for a name of renown, for an everlasting sign of jubilant exultation, a memorial to his praise, which shall not be cut off. You know, in the New Living Translation, the last verse there, verse 13, I'm going to read that. Where once there were thorns, cypress trees will grow. Where nettles grew, myrtles will sprout up. These events will bring great honor to the Lord's name. They will be an everlasting sign of his power and his love. God created us as speaking spirits to be like him. It's time for us to mature and go for it. I'm not saying that we're going to be perfect. Shoot, just a few weeks ago, I said something really stupid and I got in big trouble for it. But I'm telling you, I'm not giving up. I'm going to keep going. I don't care. I'm going to keep at it and keep at it and keep at it until I see the fruit harvested what's in my heart. I want more finances. I want a church that will come together, and I want to impact this community that's out here. I want to touch the people that are out there and show them who God really is. So my words are not going to return void. They're going to accomplish what I send it out to do. I am a speaking spirit made in the likeness and the image of God himself, who created me and has great plans for me. And I'm going to speak those things. I'm going to stand firm on those things. I'm moving forward. I'm not looking back. I don't care what happened yesterday. What I care about is what happens right now. So in the next few weeks, we're going to go through the power of our tongue, and we're going to start looking at how do we actually take on and be like Jesus? How do we say these things consistently? How do we act on what we're saying as if it were true? It's not just enough to say, but we have to do. We got to act on it. But we're going to start out with getting this right. Because if we can get this right, we're going to consistently start walking and doing what we're saying because we're going to believe it. How many times do we say, man, my feet are killing me? And they are kind of sore right now, but I don't really believe that. It's just because I'm wearing heels today. Let's start speaking the truth, speaking the things that we believe so that we can actually see them come to pass. You know, a lot of people say, man, that's really legalistic, you know. I mean, you're just being picky. Scared me to death. I'm just dying to go. But I'm telling you, if we can get a grip on our tongue, we're going to start believing what comes out of it. And we're going to stop saying these idle, non-productive words. Because we're cultivating things. We're working on something. We are working on something. We need to be working on something all the time. So it's time for us to pull up our bootstraps. And when we say something that's not right, take control over it and say, you know what? I didn't mean that. I cancel that in the name of Jesus. Here's what I really meant. And it's going to take us all being patient with each other. You know, Andy and I have used that statement that I used at the beginning of this. If you say so. It brings us into remembrance. It's not a hurtful thing to say. But Andy and I, we took hands and we prayed over this. And we said, Lord, we ask that you would set a guard over our mouths. And when we say something that isn't good, that does not agree with you, that number one, your Holy Spirit brings that to us so that we can cancel that word right then and there. But we also are putting each other, giving each other permission to speak and say, if you say so, so that we have a chance to go, oops, I don't want that. That is not something I want. So I cancel that, and here's what I really meant. It's not a hurtful thing to do. It'll start bringing things in line a lot quicker. And I'm telling you, when Andy or I look at each other and go, if you say so, we go, oop, that wasn't good. I mean, you know, it's getting things in line. You know, this next year is going to be a year of tremendous growth for this church, for this community. The Bible College is getting firmly established up here. We're living testimonies to this community up here. I want for that to grow and catch on fire so that people start coming to us when they need prayer. I have things that I'm cultivating inside of me the same way that Jesus did. And so I want to take you guys on a journey this next year. We're going to do this together. That's my heart. So, Father, I just thank you and I praise you. Father, I just thank you that you've pricked our hearts. You've convicted us of the words that we're speaking. Father, we repent of those. We ask your forgiveness. Anything that we have said that is negative, idle, has no purpose to it, we cancel those words now in the name of Jesus. And we do that in unity today. And Father, we just ask that you would reveal to us anything that we're saying that just really isn't in line with your word, and that you would bring that to us so that we can repent of those words and turn around and walk away from that. Father, we want to mature as a body. We want to grow up. We want to speak your words, edifying words, words of encouragement, words of healing, words that bless each other. Father, we just thank you and we praise you that as we do this together as a body, that you're going to honor those words. They'll not return void. They'll go out into this community. They'll touch people. They'll see that not only is it the words coming out of our mouths, but it's the actions that we're putting to those words. And they're going to say, you're different. What is it that you have that we want? We want it. We want to start walking in this. And so, Father, I just thank you and I praise you that as we walk through these next three weeks of learning about the power of our tongue, that you're going to cultivate some things. And as we start this new year, we're going to start it out with a clean slate. We're going to set goals that are going to be awesome, that are just going to be your plans for us. And we're going to speak those plans out. And we're going to start acting and walking in it in the name of Jesus. Amen. We're going to take some communion. So, Lisa, are you ready?
This is one of my favorite times of service. We come together.